He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
If you've ever entered your height and or weight online or on an app to see if you're overweight, you were probably using a BMI calculator. And if you've gotten a horrifying overweight result, don't fret. My next guest, Kira Butler, is the senior, and she's here to teach us a little bit about why the BMI calculator may not be as accurate as you may think. Kira, can you start by just defining what BMI even is?
Sure. BMI is body mass index, and basically it's you divide a person's weight by the square of his height, his or her height.
Got it. And why would we want to know that? Why does someone want to know what their BMI is? What do we do with that number?
Well, it's used by both physicians and insurers to determine whether or not somebody is overweight or obese. So there are these cutoffs. So if you're below 18.5, you're underweight. 18.5 to 24.9 is normal, and 25 to 29.9 is overweight, and 30 plus is considered obese.
Now, I guess you are here today to tell us that those cutoffs may be a little arbitrary, may not be so precise. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's right. So this is actually a really old formula. It was developed in 1832 by a Belgian statistician, mathematician, and astronomer named Adolphe Quetelet. Originally, it was used by insurers to figure out what premium somebody should pay, because it was discovered pretty early on that being really, really heavy was connected with earlier death. In the 1980s, doctors began to use it as kind of a diagnostic tool. But there's just one problem. A higher BMI does not necessarily mean you're less healthy. In fact, patients with heart disease and metabolic disorders whose BMIs classify them as overweight or mildly obese actually tend to survive longer than their normal and underweight peers.
So that seems counterintuitive to everything we have been taught, brainwashed, led to believe, both in med school, by our physicians, by everybody in the world. What is your data? What is your source to back up that statement, which is quite bold?
Well, there are a number of studies that have shown this. They've basically shown that BMI is a poor predictor of overall health, that you can basically be, as one researcher put it to me, both fat and fit. And there are more useful ways of determining your actual level of fitness. One of those is to measure waist circumference. And another one is simply to determine how much you exercise. The amount of exercise that you do is actually a more reliable indicator of metabolic health than your BMI. This has been shown in several studies.
Interesting. So have the insurance companies caught on, or are they still living in the past century?
For the most part, they're still, as you put it, living in the last century.
What do you think it would take to get them on board to realize that what they're using is flawed? Because obviously they want to make as much money as possible and make the premiums appropriate. So what's it going to take, do you think, to change the paradigm? If you know it, how are we going to educate everybody else?
It's not going to be easy.
You should read your article.
BMI is a formula. It's really, really easy for insurers and physicians to use this. You don't have to actually talk to somebody. You don't have to meet them. You don't have to get out your measuring tape and measure their waist. You don't have to ask them any questions about how much they go to the gym. All you have to do is input their height and their weight into a formula, and you get the results spit out. So you can see why this is so attractive to insurers who have to see, you know, many, many, many different claims every day, or even to physicians who, as we know, are more crunched for time today than they ever have been before.
Right. So when I enter, I don't even have to do anything. I just put in the height and weight, and it gives me the BMI. I don't have to do a thing.
Yeah, and I mean,
it automatically puts it in the chart.
Most medical records today, it will automatically do that for you. So if you're a physician, then you walk into the room and you turn on your computer and you pull up the patient record, and the patient's BMI is sitting right there for you on the screen. So that just means that you have to spend, you know, 10 less seconds saying how much do you exercise. It's right there in front of you.
What kind of numbers are you looking for fitness in terms of how much someone is exercising? I mean, is it 15 minutes a day? Is it a half hour a day? What's an important metric number?
You know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't
but
really
you play
know.
One on
I think
TV.
That it, I think it, it probably varies from person to person a lot. But that's the kind of thing that patients should be asking their doctor. You know, if hey, I want to get fit. What do you think is the right level of exercise for me?
Is there a new condition where people are getting depressed based on their BMI number when, in fact, there's nothing wrong with them and they've got a dysmorphic BMI?
Right, but, and then I'm sure that there can be some drug to treat that problem.
Of course.
If you
were going to change the system, you're now in my office tomorrow, you're playing the doctor that you aren't. What would you say to the patient that, you know, they're considered morbidly obese, and you don't really think they are? How do you convince them? You just say, well, you know, the BMI is not so great. Don't believe it. Don't worry about it.
Well, one distinction that I should make is that morbid obesity is kind of a different thing. If your BMI indicates that you are truly morbidly obese, then you probably really do have a problem. This is more like mild and moderate obesity and just general overweightness. But if somebody, you know, was saying, hey, my BMI indicates that I'm moderately obese, but mm-hmm. I, you know, run 5 times a week and I, you know, lift weights and I eat really healthily, I might urge them to talk to their doctor about it. I might urge them to go to their doctor and say, hey, is my BMI really a number that I should be concerned about? Or when you take into consideration my lifestyle, does this become less worrisome to you?
But we have to assume that that physician is actually read your article. Otherwise, that doc might be just going by the numbers, which many physicians do. We just knee-jerk make decisions based on these things just kind of planted in the sand, similar to someone's cholesterol level. You know, it used to be a normal cholesterol was 300 10 years ago. Now it's 200, so everybody's freaked out when they have a 204. And I have to spend 20 minutes trying to tell them that these numbers change based on who's creating the guidelines. So it's tough.
Well,
it's hard to...
That actually happened with BMI as well. So in 1998, the National Institutes of Health lowered the overweight threshold from 27.8 BMI to 25 BMI. So that meant that overnight, about 29 million Americans became overweight.
Overnight, exactly. It's like... And then we go on, and then nobody ever looks back. It's amazing. So, Kira, thank you for sharing the information with us today. Please go online to motherjones.com to read any of Kira's articles. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, don't let anyone else do your thinking for you, and stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.